Behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Say unto thee, Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for the reading of your word together once again tonight. What a privilege that is, Lord, and a reminder that we're all one in Christ, in the living word. Father, I pray you would bless our time now as we consider some thoughts from this passage. May you speak to each of our hearts, and we'd ask and pray this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we come back to verse 12, and the Bible says, It came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Notice what it says there, that the man was full of leprosy. I mean, his physical condition was a very serious condition. And I'll just read something to give us a little more insight into this. Leprosy in the Bible carries with it great spiritual application. And a fellow called Palubit says this, Leprosy is a remarkable type of sin and its fruits. The side effect on the body illustrates the effect of sin upon the person. Sin, like leprosy, is a most loathsome, polluting, deforming, unclean thing. Leprosy is God's language by which he describes sin as it appears in his sight. It's interesting, isn't it? Sin, like leprosy, starts out small, then grows and grows incessantly until it engulfs the whole body. Also, sin, like leprosy, causes many heart-rending social problems, as the separation laws of Moses indicate. And it certainly doesn't encourage us to want to get leprosy, does it? But it's a wonderful picture there of how God sees. Remember in Isaiah, how Isaiah chapter 1, God said, when I looked at you, he said, from head to foot, you said just wounds and festering sores and unclean, everything else. That would pretty much describe someone who's full of leprosy. And so the Bible says there, who seeing Jesus fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Okay, so we see perhaps here, first of all, his humility, this man who's got the leprosy. He falls on his face before the Lord Jesus. Okay? It's always the best way to approach God, isn't it? In humility. We ought not to approach God on the basis, listen, you do that, or you should do that, or something else. No, no, no. We should be very humble in our approach to God, and certainly this man was. He fell on his face and besought him and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, I don't believe this man was asking in unbelief here. I think the expression that he fell on his face suggests that he knew he was not worthy. But if you will, could you please heal me? I don't think it was, I'm not sure whether you could or not. I think it was quite the opposite. I think he was very confident the Lord could heal. But was he really worthy? Would the Lord want to heal him? And I think that's what we see here. So we see his humility, and we also see his faith, of course. Thou canst make me clean. You can make me clean, Lord. Now, if you're willing, I know you can, but could you please heal me? And what a wonderful testimony that is, isn't it, in approaching the Lord with humility and in faith. And, of course, we know then what happens. The Lord answered that, didn't he? And so we see here that, verse 13, he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And we see the Lord's compassion as he reaches out his hand to this man. I don't know about you, but I can just kind of see it there as he falls down on his face in humility. Look, if it's possible, could you please heal me? I can just see the Lord as he stood there and just put out his hand. And he said, I will, be thou clean. Imagine that. I'm sure it would have been, if you'd seen it, you'd be like, wow, look at that. Just to see the compassion and the love of the Lord as he reached out and said, I will, be clean, be clean. You think, now, you think about it in those days. Some with leprosy, part of the law was they had to cover themselves. They weren't to get within a certain distance of people. And if someone was coming, they had to cry out, unclean, unclean, unclean. And you were not to touch lepers. Lepers were to be held at arm's length and kept right away from everybody. And yet here's the Lord Jesus in his love and compassion reaches out and touches him. He didn't say, oh, yeah, I'll heal you, but I don't want to touch you. No. Oh, no, that's not our God. That's not our Lord Jesus, is it? No, he reaches out with compassion and love and concern, says, I will. Be clean. Be you clean. And what a wonderful example of the Lord's grace and compassion, and also of his power, of course, because the Bible says, and immediately the leprosy departed from him. You know, one of the things I love about the scriptures and the healings that the Lord Jesus did, he didn't have to wonder, did they really get healed or not? I wonder whether they did. Well, go away, brother, and within the next week you should be healed or whatever it is. No. When the Lord Jesus healed, they were healed. And it wasn't a partial healing. It was always they were healed, and they were healed immediately. The one exception, I think, was the man. Remember, he was blind, and the Lord Jesus touched his eyes and did what he did. And he said, can you see? He said, well, I can see men like trees walking. He said, all right, I'll touch him again. Now you can see. And that was maybe a little progression. But outside that, it was always the same. And so we find this man is immediately healed. The leprosy departed from him. You can only imagine the thankfulness and the joy that would have been in his heart. You could only imagine what it must have been. And then the Bible says, the Lord Jesus, he charged him to tell no man, But go and show thyself to the priest and offer for thy cleansing according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Okay, basically what's he saying? So listen, I want you now to follow the biblical procedure. And we won't take time to look there tonight, but in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14 especially, there's a lot of things laid down there about leprosy and all the things that were involved in leprosy and things that were needed to be done and how it was to be presented, and the priests had to declare them clean and all that sort of thing. And so the Lord says, all right, I want you to go down, just do what the Bible says. Amen. Just do what the Bible says. Go down there and reveal yourself to the priest. And, you know, one of the other things that would have been as well, if he'd gone down there, would have been a great testimony to who the Lord Jesus was. Because they would have had to have said, who's that? Well, you know, Jesus, he just touched me and I was healed. He spoke. But notice verse 15, but so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Now just keep your hand there and go back to Mark for a moment, to chapter 1 in Mark. And it speaks about this incident. Mark speaks about it and gives just a little more insight into it. But in Mark chapter 1, notice how Mark expresses in verse 44, this is the Lord Jesus saith unto him, see thou sayest nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. Notice what it says next. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in a desert place, and they came to him from every quarter. It's a difficult one, isn't it? You've been full of leprosy and now you're totally healed. What would you want to do? You'd want to tell people, wouldn't you? I mean, surely you'd be wanting to say something to someone about it. The Lord says, don't say anything to anybody. Just go down there to the priests as a testimony to them, talk to them and follow those biblical principles. But this fellow couldn't help himself. He's got to go out and he's going to tell everybody. And in one sense, you say, how good's that? Well, it would have been good if the Lord had asked him to do that. It's not what the Lord asked him to do. And, you know, I'm not critical of the fellow. I can understand why he'd want to go out and tell someone. Oh, my, I want to tell someone. But he disobeyed. It's not what he was told to do. Now, one of the things that reminds us of here, the Lord Jesus didn't do this just to get a crowd. He wasn't interested in doing miracles to get a crowd. That's not why he did the miracles. You know, you have all these big crusades and all these big meetings and we get all this happening today and, you know, we get 50,000 people turn up and, you know, all the things that happen with that. What are they doing? They're trying to get a crowd. And they get a crowd. But what happens? I don't know. We'll leave that for the Lord. But I suspect not a lot spiritually. That wasn't the Lord Jesus. I mean, if it was about getting crowds, he could have had the whole nation at his feet, couldn't he? And no problem, any miracles here, I'll perform some if that's all it takes. But we know he wasn't in the business of performing miracles for the sake of it. You think about Herod. When Herod finally saw the Lord Jesus, now, looking forward to a miracle. Come on, Jesus, do something. And the Bible says the Lord Jesus did not even speak to him. He wasn't in the business of doing miracles for the sake of doing miracles. Yes, he did many amazing miracles, many mighty miracles, but it wasn't to draw the crowds. It was to establish who he was and his authority, God-given authority. So that man goes out and he tells everybody. Well, we know what Mark says, that caused a whole lot of problems. The Lord Jesus then had to go away into a desert place. You know, but you think about that. He's in contrast to a lot of Christians. You say, what do you mean? The Lord Jesus said to him, don't go and tell anybody. The Lord Jesus says to us, go and tell everybody. And we don't tell anybody. It's quite the opposite. We're funny creatures, aren't we? Don't tell anybody. Yeah, I'll tell everybody. Tell everybody. No, I'm not going to tell anybody. Oh, my. Well, lesson learned, amen. Notice what happens next, verse 16, and Mark gives a little more information there. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. He took a little time to get alone with the Father and take some time in prayer and do some things in that sense. And, you know, sometimes we just need to get aside to pray, don't we? Sometimes we just need to get aside. You know what I think? I think we need to get aside every day, spend some time with the Lord. Sometimes it might be a day of prayer and fasting. We get aside a little bit longer. Maybe other things are a little more pressing. We've got to get aside with the Lord for a while. But our Lord Jesus, again, is our example here. And we go on now to the next situation. It came to pass, verse 17, on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Again, just keep your hand there and go back to Mark chapter 2. Just look at the opening verses there. Just tells a little bit more introduction to this. And in verse 1 in Mark chapter 2, and again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and was noised that he was in the house. Straight away many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. All right, and then they come unto him, bring one sick of the palsy, was born of four. And so back in Luke, he doesn't tell us about him going to this house. That's fine, that's all right. But it does tell us a little bit of information which Mark didn't. Notice what it says again in verse 17. All the heavies are there, we would say. All the heavies are there. The Pharisees, the doctors of the law, they were all there. We find later on the scribes, they were all there. And they'd come from every town in Galilee and Judea, even from Jerusalem. I mean, he's drawing a crowd. And all the heavies are there to come and see what's going on. It was very evident, obviously, that God was working, and they're all come to critique him. They've no doubt heard about the leper being healed. They've heard about other miracles. And now all the heavies have come down to critique the Lord Jesus, to see what he's up to, see what he's going to do next. And in verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. Remember what Mark said, the house was packed. You couldn't even get in the door. I mean, the crowds were there. And we'd say, wow, how good's that? Yeah, I wonder how many of those actually got saved at the end of it all. They were there for the miracles and everything else. But it was evident that God was working. The power of the Lord was present to heal them. And they were mindful of that, and so they've come down to find out what's going on. This is something different. This is something unique. We haven't seen this before. And so we find some things here about these men. We see that this man is in a bed, a man who was taken with a palsy. Obviously, his condition was very serious. He's paralyzed. He can't walk. He needs someone to carry him. Now, the bed's not what we call a bed today, perhaps, but they are carrying this man. He's in a very serious condition. Had to be carried. Mark tells us there, we looked at that, four men, one each corner, carrying this friend of theirs. One of the things we see about these men, they obviously had some serious concerns for their friend, didn't they? I mean, he can't move, he can't walk, he's got serious palsy. They could have said, well, listen, brother, we're going down to see Jesus and we'll let you know when we get back how things went. They could have. But no doubt they'd heard about the leper being healed and they'd heard about other things. And I believe they said, listen, brother, we believe if you get down there, Jesus could heal you. We really believe that. Well, I can't get down there. I can't walk. Yeah, we know. We're going to carry you, mate. We're going to get you down there. They're serious about their friend. They're serious. They believe that the Lord Jesus would be the answer for their friend. He'd be able to take care of the same way as he did with the leper. It's interesting, isn't it? They sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. In verse 90, when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Just have a look for a minute about a roof. Just quote some things I was looking at. And this fellow says this. Luke recorded that the man was let down through the tiling in verse 19. It need not follow that Luke thought of a different kind of house. The flat roof for an ordinary house would be constructed by laying beams about 3 feet apart from wall to wall. Short sticks were laid closely together across the beams and covered with a thick matting of thorn bushes. That was one way. At other times, as seems the case here, stone slabs or plates of burnt clay were laid across the beams. A coat of clay was spread on top of this and rolled hard to keep out the rain, so they would be readily able to dig out a hole large enough for the purpose without damaging the rest of the roof. Having cleared away the clay, they lifted the tiles to make the opening. I mean, again, you can see some things here in all this. These men couldn't heal their friend, but they were prepared to do whatever they could to help him. I mean, you imagine, this is pretty serious when you start tearing up someone's roof to put your friend down there. I mean, they've got to carry him up there. There's steps, I understand, as you read, they've got steps sometimes on the inside, but oftentimes on the outside of the building, and they'd carry him up. And here are these four men, and I'm sure it's not a huge step. They've got to get their friend up there. And then when they get up there, and we don't know whose plan it was, and we don't know whether they got permission. I doubt whether they did. They said, "We've got to get him to Jesus. We've got to get him to Jesus. Brother, we're going to get you there somehow. Let me tell you, we're going to do it." And so they open up the roof and lower him down, and he comes down right smack bang in front of the Lord Jesus. They were pretty serious, weren't they? You know, how serious are you and I about reaching people for the Lord, or getting people to the Lord, if we can use it that way? How serious are we? And one of the other things we see here, which is so important as well, is there's teamwork here, amen? There's teamwork. You and I as individuals ain't going to win everybody. There needs to be teamwork. If we're going to get people to the Lord, then there needs to be some teamwork. Not everybody has to do the same thing, but everybody needs to be working to get people to the Lord. It needs teamwork for that. We've got to pray. We've got to go. We've got to do all those things. You know, how concerned are we for the lost? You know, I know we talk about this often enough, but nevertheless, remember what Paul said. We are laborers together with God. Paul says there's got to be some teamwork here. He said, "I've sowed and, you know, Apollos watered." There's got to be some teamwork if you're now. God may give you the privilege as an individual to talk to someone about the Lord, and bless God, He does do that. But there's going to be some teamwork needed as well. Someone has to pray. Someone has to do all that. And so they were serious, and they let him down through the tiling. Well, notice verse 20. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Unto man, thy sins are forgiven thee." When he saw their faith. I don't know about you, but I find that any time I read this passage, that is a challenge. He saw their faith. You know, faith not some mystical, "I just believe." No. If there's faith, there will be things observed that show there's faith. Amen. He saw their faith. True faith will be seen by our actions. I believe people are lost and dying and going to hell. You don't really believe that because you never witnessed to anybody. Oh, yes, I do. All right. I'm not having to go on anybody. But you know what I'm saying? If there's real faith there, it should be evident to other people. It should be seen. The Lord Jesus, the Bible says, when he saw their faith, I believe all five of them, the four carrying him and the one on the bed, they had faith that the Lord was going to do something if they could get to him. He saw their faith. And you think about it through the scriptures time and again. Noah did what? By faith. People could see this man's serious. And by faith, Abraham left. And by faith, they walked around the walls. You know, faith is always going to be evident by our actions, or the lack of actions. whichever way it goes. Amen. And remember this, the Lord sees it. The Lord sees it. He saw their faith. Does the Lord see our faith? Does he see it? Well, what does he say? Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. I wonder whether the man was expecting to hear that first up. But what's the most important need anybody has? Physical healing or sins forgiven? It's an easy one, isn't it? Most important is sins forgiven. So the Lord starts with that. In this particular situation, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. Well, verse 21, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Now, I can understand their thinking. These are the religious and spiritual leaders of the nation. They know the word of God. God alone can forgive. And yet this man says, your sins are forgiven. That is blasphemy. Why? Because only God can forgive sins. So they were very critical, obviously. And in a way, fair enough that they were. I think their attitude probably would have been wrong. They probably could have expressed it a little better. They probably could have said, Jesus, we just need to ask you something here. Did you just say that his sins are forgiven? Why are you doing that? How can you say that? I don't think that was their attitude. There is a way to critique someone, isn't there? Which is gracious. I don't think they were very gracious. But notice verse 22, but when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he knew what they were thinking. He knew what they were thinking. You know, the Lord knows our thoughts. What did the psalm writer say in Psalm 139? You know our ways and you understand our thoughts are far off. The Lord knows our thoughts. Sorry, you fellas, I know your thoughts. You didn't maybe express it, but I know what you're thinking. And he said unto them, what reason ye in your hearts? What's going on here? Come on. Like we would say, spit it out. Come on. Bring it out. You've obviously got some concerns. Let's hear about it. Well, the Lord says, okay, whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk? Good question, isn't it? One of the things that I believe is very impressive about our Lord Jesus and his ministry to others is the questions he asked them. You know, sometimes we're busy telling people. Sometimes we need to ask people the right questions. Yeah, but I need to tell them. But the Lord Jesus was telling them, but he was doing it in a way that was quite subtle, wasn't it? He was asking them questions. Remember about, you know, John the Baptist. Was his ministry from God or where was that from? Now, if we say it's from God, he'll say, why didn't you obey him? If we say it's from man, we could be in big trouble because the man thinks he's a prophet. We don't know. We can't answer it. The Lord said, well, I'm not going to tell you your answer either. You ask the question you ask me. But time and again, you find the Lord Jesus asking the appropriate question. May I encourage each of us, including myself tonight, to ask people questions? Not in some condemning or critical way, but to ask questions that are going to cause them to think about their position. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. The Lord Jesus did that. What reason in your hearts? Is it easy to say thy sins be forgiven or to say rise up and walk? Well, both are easy to say, aren't they? Your sins are forgiven, rise up and walk. But which one's the easiest one to see, if we can put it that way, if the person rises up and walks? You can say, your sins are forgiven, you're right. Really? Thanks very much. But to say to someone, rise up and walk. Now, which is easier? You guys, you got these thoughts in your heart. Which is easier? Well, he said in verse 24, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto you, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. He said, I'll answer the question for you. What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? I'll show you the point I'm going to make here. Rise up and walk. Why is that? That you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. I have the power to cause that man to rise up and walk. I have the power to forgive sins. And I'll prove that I have the power to forgive sins. Watch this. Rise up and walk. Now what's easier? Your sins are forgiven or rise up and walk? It's a pretty easy one to answer, isn't it? The Lord Jesus established who he was, the Son of Man, the Son of God, by doing that which was really impossible unless he was who he says he was. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be prepared to walk up to someone and say, your sins are forgiven, by the way, get up and walk. I don't think so. I don't think so. So he shows that he does have that authority to forgive sins. And then in verse 25, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Now, this fellow's a little different to the leper. This fellow did exactly what the Lord Jesus told him to do. He said three things to him, didn't he? Arise, take up thy couch, and go into thine own house. Simple enough instructions. And immediately he did what he was told. Immediately. It's the challenge to all of us, isn't it? Do we be like that man and immediately do what the Lord tells us to do? Immediately. Well, he obeyed and did all. Not only that, you know what the Bible says there, glorifying God. Praising God. Glorifying God. Praising God. You can imagine. I mean, go back a little bit, and here they are trudging down the road there, these four fellas with their friend in this little couch thing, whatever it was, their bed, and they get down, and once we get you to Jesus, it'll be all right. He'll be able to heal you, brother. Don't worry, we'll be there soon. Oh, wow, looks like there's a bit of a crowd there. Uh-oh, looks like a full house. Now what are we going to do? We've got to get you to him, because if we don't, then you're going to stay where you are the rest of your life. We've got to get you there. Here's what we'll do. We'll climb up onto the roof there. We'll pull it back and we'll lower you down. And they did all that. And then the Lord says, now you're okay. Your sins are forgiven and now you're healed. That would cause some glory in your soul, wouldn't it? That would cause you to get a bit excited. And he went back glorifying God. Amen. And amen. Praising God. He's not only healed, but his sins are forgiven. I don't think he went there for forgiveness of sins necessarily. Oh my. But the Lord said your sins are forgiven as well. And that would cause you to glorify God. And maybe, I don't know, but I just put it in there, maybe part of his health problems was sin anyway. Maybe. I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. It possibly had nothing to do with it. Either way, he's still glorifying God. And it's amazing. And notice what happens next. And they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we've seen strange things today. So they were all amazed and they were also filled with fear. Some strange things today. Oh my. We have seen some strange things. But why were they fearful? Well, remember when we go back a little bit, it talked about how there was a lot happening and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. They knew God was doing something there. And it caused them to be fearful. In a good way. In a fear that God is doing something. And they're amazed and fearful. Remember Peter, when the net was filled up, he was down on his face before the Lord, wasn't he? He was in that sense fearful in the presence of the power of God. And David touched on it this morning, in a sense with Felix slightly different. But what happened? When God was speaking to him, he began to do what? To tremble. You ever found that at times? I found that myself at times. When I've been praying and I just feel a shudder go through me. And I think, Lord, oh. You ever been there, done that? Yeah, sometimes. Not all the time. It just causes you to tremble when you think about the grace of God and his goodness and his salvation. And you're not worthy of it. Just go, oh, Lord, oh. It's amazing. I think that was a little bit of that, perhaps. A little bit of that. They were fearful, with fear, filled with it, saying, we have seen strange things today. They couldn't explain it. But God had certainly done something amazing. You know, it's like salvation, isn't it? When someone gets saved and they're genuinely saved, you can see God's done something there. You can't explain it, but you can certainly see God's done something. And to God be the glory. What does he say then, verse 20? And when he saw their faith, he saw their faith. What about you and I? Does he see our faith? Does he see it? Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight, and Lord, that we can share this time together in your word. And Lord, these are incidents in the ministry of our Lord Jesus, in the life of the Lord Jesus, that, Lord, we read often enough, and yet each time, Lord, it's refreshing and encouraging and challenging as well, Lord. And we're thankful for tonight, Lord. I pray your blessing upon each one of us as we think about it, Lord. Especially, Lord, do you see our faith? Lord, maybe we could ask the question, do other people see our faith? Because, Lord, if you see it, then others will see it. Lord, something we need to meditate upon. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless us now. And we give you thanks in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.